bring out truths after the experience that Nebuchadnezzar had. And I want to say a word or two about the fire in chapter 3 of Daniel. But now let me read a little bit from this chapter to refresh your memory. Daniel 4:1. Nebuchadnezzar, the king unto all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. It hath seemed good unto me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. And you remember the dream about the tree and its being cut down? In brief, Daniel is called in, and look at verse 22. This dream about the tree and what happened to it, verse 22, Daniel tells him, "It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven, and saying, Hew down the tree and destroy it, nevertheless leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till 7 times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. It is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my Lord. And thou shalt be driven from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and thou shalt be made to eat grass as oxen, and shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." Keep that verse in mind, verse 19, because look at verse 17. The sentence is by the decree of the watchers and the demand of the holy ones, their word to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. And so in verse 17, and also in verse 25, and now let's look over at verse 28. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking in the royal palace of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon which I have built for the royal dwelling place, by the might of my power, and for the glory of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee." And the sentence is going to be carried out. And it says in verse 32, 7 times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. 3 times this truth is brought out. Verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heavens and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, What doest thou? At the same time, mine understanding returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom. And excellent greatness was added unto me. Now, I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are truth, and his ways justice, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, how hard are the lessons that you have for men to learn, to be taken to heart. Our God, we are thankful that this man learned his lesson. We regret that thou hast shown us in thy word that though thy hand is heavy upon others, they do not learn. But we are thankful that you are concerned enough about them, our God, to place thy hand upon them, that they might learn. We pray that what Nebuchadnezzar took to heart, we shall take to heart. Let us understand that thou art no respecter of persons. Let us understand, Father, that those watchers in heaven demand righteousness for the dealings with all mankind and punishment to be meted out to them according to the divine laws laid down in heaven. So let us learn that lesson, our God. Let us know the ones that have been asked to pray for. We would pray for them. Some have not been mentioned. You know sad hearts. You know broken homes, our God. You know the pressures in this age in which we live. Think on those, our God, and do good. And for us this night, prepare our hearts to receive the truths of this chapter and cleanse from sin and empower lips and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. The God of thought, the God of fire, and the God of mind control. These are the lessons that Nebuchadnezzar had laid before him to be learned by God, and he learned them one by one, but the most difficult was the lesson that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basis of men. This is a lesson hard to be learned even by us who are God's children. How much more by this heathen king who apparently thought that God was flattered to be his God, when the first dream that he had was interpreted as, Thou, O Nebuchadnezzar, art the head of gold. How proud he becomes. He was proud, and then he was humbled, because this proud monarch, who was told he was the head of gold, is seen falling down at the feet of Daniel and worshiping him because of the supernatural knowledge given him concerning his dream and the interpretation thereof. He understood that first lesson, that God is the revealer of secrets. There's no God like Daniel's God who can reveal secrets. But his heart has not been won over. I want us to remember that. That you see so many dignitaries that have impressions made upon them, and there is an apparent turning to God, but it is not complete. Because in chapter 3, the next lesson has to be learned. Do you remember I told you about the kings of Assyria saying, oh yes, he's a God that can do some things for Israel, but he cannot do everything. Yes, he's a God of the hills, but he's not a God of the valleys. They had to learn that lesson. And now, Nebuchadnezzar must learn the second lesson, that God is not only the God of the mind, the thought of the spirit, but he is the God of elements as well, because he is the one who is able to quench the violence of fire. That was his challenge. And who is that God that can deliver you from the burning fiery furnace? That's what he wanted to know. Yes, this God of Daniel, he knows things of men's mind, but let's see if he's the God of fire. And he learns through his dealings with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that he is the God of the elements as well. And this is where I would revert to chapter 3 for a while and tell you somewhat about fire. If you ask me, is it literal fire that is in hell? I have no difficulty telling you that if God wants it to be, it can be. But from the other things that I see in Scripture, like God speaks of hell as the outer darkness, the blackness of darkness, and he speaks of hell and the suffering, if you wanted to give a picture of intense suffering, that is the way to do it figuratively. Understand, there may be literal fire in hell. It may be figurative, but whatever the punishment of hell is, it is one whose figure is so horrible that God can depict it only by a man that is in fire. Let me ask you this. Do you not see that if it is literal fire, and a man of flesh and bone, such as I and you, is cast into that fire, how long would his body last? You say, it will be gone in a moment of time. Why, of course it would. But it says in Revelation that the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. So evidently, something has to be altered in the bodies of these resurrected beings that are going to be in the lake of fire. Or the fire has to be of a certain character, because it cannot be fire as we know it with bodies as we know them. Because if that is so, then we'll have to believe what the annihilationists teach, that a man is cast into hell and he is burned up, consumed, and that's the end of him. All that's left is ashes. But the Bible says, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Therefore, it is either that God has changed the body, or the fire is of such a nature, and we would think that it was a special kind of fire for the torment of those who reject God's will, because it says in Matthew chapter 25, depart ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And I'm not aware that fire that you and I are familiar with has any effect upon spirit beings. And it's fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And another thing is this. Whereas it might be literal fire, it is fire tempered in such a way that while it burns, it does not consume. And we should immediately think not only of Daniel 3, but of Exodus 3. You say, why? Because the very thing that people are laughing at in the book of Daniel, whereas they would say, oh, we believe of the Pentateuch, in the book of Exodus, the same thing is repeated there. Moses and the bush, and the Lord Jesus verifies Exodus chapter 3. Moses saw this great sight. Here is a bush that was burning but was not consumed. Now, what does that mean? It must mean that there is something special about the fire, or that God has done something to the bush, whereas it can burn but not be consumed. Do you not see that? So in this case, in Daniel chapter 3, you have literal fire, a burning, fiery furnace, and God showing that he is the God of elements, he lets the fire in its natural properties burn off the bonds that were around the arms and legs of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He lets the natural fire take its natural course over the bonds that were binding them, but he has such control over the elements that none of their garments are burned or changed. And this is something that you cannot help but laugh at. When they came out, there was not even the smell of smoke upon their garments. And I challenge you to get into the vicinity of any fire, to go into any house where there is smoke, and come out without the smell of smoke upon you. You say it's impossible. Of course, it is miraculous. Exodus 3 is miraculous, and Daniel 3 is miraculous, and God is showing that he is the God of the elements. The same way that when they went through the Red Sea, God said, I will show you that I'm the God of the elements. And he caused the winds to blow, and he caused the waves to go back until the children of Israel went through. And God then caused the sea to return to its normal course. God is showing us that he is the God of the elements. So I wanted to bring that to your attention, to show you that God can cause fire to burn and do what he wants to in its natural way, but at the same time, he can prevent it from doing harm, and even the smoke, the residue of that fire, it's not upon the ones that he does not want it to be upon, and I rejoice in that. If God is able to have a bush to burn but not be consumed, then God is able to cast the resurrected bodies of those who have rejected Christ into the lake of fire and cause them to burn with the same kind of fire and yet not be consumed, and the smoke of their torment will ascend up forever and ever. Those were a few thoughts that I wanted to bring to your mind. God showing what he can do with fire and what he can refrain fire from doing if left to its natural course. So those are the lessons that Nebuchadnezzar has to learn. He has to learn about the God of thought and mind. And he has to learn about the God of elements. And the challenge was, who is that God that can deliver you? And when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come out of the burning fiery furnace, he says, there's no God like this. God has changed the king's word. This mighty king gave the decree, and God changed it. Who can change it? Who can deliver you from the fire? He learned through the experience of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that Daniel's God and their God was able to do all things. Now, what is so sad is this, that God gives this man opportunity after opportunity to learn. And now we come to the third opportunity he has. And God in his goodness sent him another dream. He sent him the dream in chapter 2. And now he sends him another dream. And the reason we know that this dream is from God is because any dream that you have is so fantastic, it is meaningless at times. You've had dreams and you tried to figure them out, and there's no rhyme or reason to the dreams. But the dreams that God sends, as in the case of the baker and the butler, as to Joseph, as to the case of Nebuchadnezzar in 2 and Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 4 of Daniel, this is God who sends the dream, because the dream and what is depicted in it must have figures that are to be interpreted in a certain way, and men like Joseph and men like Daniel know the interpretation of dreams sent by God, and they're able to give it. And God has now spoken to Nebuchadnezzar the third time. And he does it through this dream, and in his goodness, he is appealing to this heathen king, because it says in Romans 1, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" And the goodness and forbearance and long-suffering of God have been manifested in the life of this monarch more than he deserved. But God is abundant in mercy and loving kindness. And he is doing this to bring that man to repentance. This is the exhortation that Daniel gives to him. And yet all is in vain. Look at verse 28 now. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. So, after chapter 2, after chapter 3, after a year of chapter 4 and the pleading of Daniel, "O king, change your ways, your behavior, that there may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." And he has a year's probation. But one day, in verse 29, at the end of 12 months, he was walking in the royal palace of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon which I have built for the royal dwelling place by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty?" And that's all that he had to say. And that is when the probation period ended. And it says in verse 31, "While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee." All right, understand this. The interpretation was that as the head of gold was Nebuchadnezzar, so the tree was Nebuchadnezzar, head of his kingdom. It depicted him in his grandeur. But when that tree was cut down, then the interpretation is this. The kingdom is departed from thee. If the tree is standing, growing, spreading, benefiting, controlling, and the tree is cut down, then his kingdom is departed from him. And I cannot help but think of the words similar to these that occurred when judgment fell upon the children of Israel. They lusted after flesh. And it says, while the flesh was still in their teeth, the judgment of God fell. And in like manner, while these vain, glorious words are in the mind and in the mouth of Nebuchadnezzar, while he's walking in all his pride saying, "Is this not great Babylon which I have built? It's for the royal dwelling place. It's the power of my might. It's for the glory of my majesty." That is when he went to the point that the watcher from heaven and the Holy One said, "Enough!" This is when the judgment falls. And then all the things that Daniel appealed to him that could be avoided if he were to change his ways, now they are coming upon him, and he experienced the final lesson that God had, the hardest lesson, because he was frightened by the dream that Daniel was able to interpret. He was frightened and amazed and astonished by the deliverance from fire. But now pride comes out, and he must go through a physical experience for 7 years. 7 times must pass over him. And notice, it is until, that is the hope of the interpretation. It says this, "Until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men." The first time is that the living may know. Now, that you may know. And the watchers say, "Until you know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Give it to whomsoever he will." And so God understands, and the watchers understand, that it's going to take 7 years before this lesson is learned, or this lesson is going to be learned, but the judgment for this vain glory, this pride, this boasting must be endured for 7 years. And that is the sad thing. And I've seen it happen to the people of God. They do one thing. Now, let me ask you. Suppose in my pride, I were to utter some great words about what I could do, what I could teach, what I could preach, and God struck me down for 7 years. Isn't that a little severe? To have a sentence like this to come from my lips, and God says, I'm striking you down for 7 years. Isn't that severe? Well, think of all the long suffering of God for all the years before God passed this judgment upon him. And in reality, what was secretly in his heart, what God had been working at in his heart to change, had never completely changed, because I've seen men apparently do an about face, but it was a temporary thing. In the case of the king of Nineveh and his subjects, it was a genuine turning from evil. But in the case of Pharaoh, it was not a turning from evil. And as soon as he saw the children of Israel departed from Egypt, he said, what have I done? And he gathered his army together to go and bring them back. But in this instance, we understand that it was a true conversion. And God, instead of destroying him as he did Pharaoh and his army, God has shown us in the interpretation that no matter how long he remained insane, there was going to be a restoration. Why? Because when the tree is cut down, that means the kingdom is departed from thee. But there was a band of iron and brass around that stump of the tree. And what does it mean? It means that his kingdom was guaranteed unto him. What is stronger than brass and iron? And that is what is meant, that it is reserved for you, even though the kingdom had been taken away from him until 7 times passed over him. Now, he learned in a way of astonishment about the God of the mind, about the God of the elements. But now he learns through insanity and through the suffering of bodily pain and deprivation that God is the Most High, and he rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. Now understand that. God made Nebuchadnezzar the head of gold. God was he who lifted up the basest, the lowest of men, and set them upon the throne. It was God, Nebuchadnezzar, who put you where you are. But listen to Nebuchadnezzar's words. He says, even though three times we read in this chapter, till you learn, till the living learn, that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. He heard that. He saw it in his dream. He heard Daniel repeat it. And even though he heard that, he said, is not this great Babylon, which I have built for the royal dwelling place by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty? The very thing that God was trying to impress upon him, the Most High ruling among the kingdoms of men, he said, I am he who built it. I am he who deserves all the credit. It is I. And God said, we shall see who it is. But in this instance, thank God, it was successful, and Nebuchadnezzar turned from his ways. Now, think of this. Whereas the Holy One, the Watcher from heaven, tell him that this is the lesson that men must learn. Some hear similar things, but do not change. Do you remember Pilate? When Pilate is addressing our Savior, and the Savior remains silent, and Pilate says, answerest thou me not? Do you not understand I have power to crucify you, and I have power to release you? And the Lord Jesus says, you would have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. The Lord Jesus knows that whatever is happening is in the hand of God, that the Most High ruleth among the kingdom of men, that this little figurehead, Pilate, is lifted up, not because of his strategy and ingenuity, but God in his grace lifted him up, and he is the one who placed him where he was. And the Lord Jesus said, you would have no power against me except it were given thee from above. But when Pilate hears this, and when Pilate's wife tells him about the dream that she has had, instead of repenting and releasing the Lord Jesus, he hears these words, if you release this man, you are not a friend of Caesar. That is enough. Take him, crucify him. That's what he says. So, in the case of Pharaoh, I have sinned. And he lets them go. What have I done? But in the case of Nebuchadnezzar, thank God, it takes 7 years. But at the end of those 7 years, listen to this verse. It's one of the most beautiful in the Bible. And at the end, verse 34, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever. You see what has happened? He has been struck down by the righteous judgment of God. But this being struck down in God's grace has been assured that it would not be a complete destruction. Like one who stumbles, he shall not be utterly cast down, because that band of iron and brass is around the stump. And now, the words, is not this great Babylon which I have built for the royal dwelling place? That's what he said 7 years before. But now, listen. He says, I lifted up mine eyes and mine understanding returned to me, and I blessed and I praised the Most High, and I honored him. Do you understand? Now, listen to the words that are proceeding from his lips. And when those words issue from his lips, the Most High, he is the one. He is the ruler. He is the one who lifts up, who exalts, who setteth on thrones and taketh down from thrones. When he says that, God says, give him his kingdom back again. And that is the grace of God. That is the dealing of God. Behold, the goodness and the severity of God. The severity of God that was required to bring this man to his senses. And then the goodness of God that restored to him his kingdom. But listen, do you remember how Job, after his sufferings, he had twice as much as he did before? Listen to what Nebuchadnezzar says. I was established in my kingdom, and excellent greatness was added unto me. Now that is the goodness and the grace of God. For him to rebel against God, to speak words of pride against God, God to strike him down. But then, when his understanding returns, and he says, oh God, you are supreme. You are the ruler. You are the king of heaven and earth. And listen to these words. I can't help but laugh when I read them. And he says this, his ways are justice, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Who would know it better than Nebuchadnezzar, who's been going around like a beast for 7 years until God says, all right, and then his understanding returns. Let me give you this comparison as to what sin does. The sin of pride in the case of Nebuchadnezzar, the sin of lust in the case of Samson. Samson was a Nazarite from his mother's womb, but because of the lust of the flesh, he gives away the secret of his strength, and then his hair is cut. And they put out his eyes and put it in prison, and he is grinding like a beast. He's grinding in the prison house. That's because of the lust of the flesh. And Nebuchadnezzar is going around like a beast and eating grass. Why? Because of sin. And I want us to understand that this is what God can do. God is he who can humble us. And as it says in Romans chapter 1, it says they serve and glorify the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And inasmuch as they did not choose, it did not please them to have God in their minds, God gave them up. And you see men that have the knowledge of God, and they refuse to have God in their mind, and God gave them up. And then you see all the degradation to which man fell. Why? Because God is He who can control the mind for good. For God can remove His control of minds, of men, and they can fall into the most perverse ways, as is occurring today. Look at all the abominable things that are in the minds of men today. And those who do not practice those things, they are out to condone them, to pass laws that those things that are an abomination in God's sight, that they may be tolerated, that these men may be protected to do those things that cause the judgment of God to fall upon a nation. But understand that if men speak in pride against God, if men live in lewdness as Samson against the holy demands of God, then God is able to withdraw His hand, and they return to bestiality, and they return to insanity, like that man that was demon-possessed. But when the Lord Jesus cast out that demon, they said they found him seated and clothed and in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. That is the beauty that the Savior can do for those in the New Testament what God did for this man in the Old Testament. And that is the consolation. We have the power of Satan in this man that is demon-possessed, but the Lord Jesus can remove that demon. And we have the pride in the heart of Nebuchadnezzar, but God in His grace can deal with that pride. And in like manner, concerning the sins elsewhere in the Old Testament, whatever it is, God is able to deal with those sins, whether it be with the king of Nineveh or the king of Babylon or whatever man. God is able to deal with those sins and return them to their right minds if they will repent. But if not, what is sad? Some remain insane forever. But thank God, the demoniac that Christ healed, he was restored. Nebuchadnezzar is restored. And another beautiful portion concerning Samson. It says that after his 7 locks were cut off, he was blinded, grinding as an animal. It says this, his hair began to grow again. That's the goodness of God. Just as in the case of this band of iron and brass guaranteeing restoration to Nebuchadnezzar when his understanding returns to him, when Samson's hair began to grow again, the token of his fellowship with God comes to sight once more. And Samson speaks to his God. And then Samson, though it cost him his life, destroys more in his death than he did in his life of the enemies of God. And so Samson could say, those that disobey God, he is able to abase. And Nebuchadnezzar is able to say, those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. But at the same time, he extols and praises God, because those that walk in pride who have been abased, if they repent, God is able to lift them up again. The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Let us all remember that lesson. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, let us know the pride that is in the heart of man, not only these of whom we've read, but in our hearts. So our God, help us to be like Moses, but Moses without smiting that rock when you told him to speak to it. Moses, the meekest of men, and yet words come from his lips. Hear now, ye rebels. Our God, help us to put a watch upon our lips, and help us to walk humbly and quietly, because those that walk in pride, you are able to abase. And let us remember Pharaoh, and let us remember Samson, and let us remember Nebuchadnezzar, because what you have done to them, you can do to us. But we are so thankful that you have said, not only, let him that standeth take heed lest he fall, but you have said, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not permit you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make also a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And we believe that, our God, and we cast ourselves upon thee. Let us walk humbly and place ourselves in thy hands, we ask, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.